Welcome to the 50 States Finish Line podcast, where we talk about running, road races, and all the ways running enriches our lives. I'm your host, Pam, and I've completed half marathons in 30 states and have run 5 marathons. Thank you for tuning in. This season, we've been talking about longevity with running and how runners stay with the sport year over year. In previous episodes, we've talked about Seacoast running groups such as 603 and the Winner's Circle. In today's show, we will talk about how a runner might change things up or build on their approach by working with a running coach. In full disclosure, I have never used a running coach, so I am really looking forward to learning from today's guests. But first, I'm going to start with a testimonial about my guest. Coach K is awesome. Not only am I having the most fun I've ever had running, but also I am setting new personal bests. I've learned to trust how I feel on a run and stay flexible with a plan. Coach K is extremely supportive, encouraging, and positive. She always checks in and adjusts training when needed. I am so grateful for everything she has helped me achieve. This is just one of many positive testimonials about today's guests. Welcome, Carrie Ann. I am so delighted to host you and to hear about your running and coaching work. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself as a runner?
Wow, thank you. That was such a nice surprise hearing that testimonial. I am so excited to be here. And I started running as a, I guess it's not later in life, but I wasn't a high school runner or college runner. I started once I graduated college. I went to school at UNH. I grew up in New Hampshire, so I moved out to Denver when I was 23, and I wanted to meet new people and see the city and kind of get to know where I was living. And so I joined Team in Training, which is a awesome organization that you train for an event. So there's like triathlons, marathons, half marathons. They do a bunch of different events, and in return, you fundraise for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, and then you get a coach and you're a part of this group and you meet and you do runs. And I guess I'm an all or nothing type of person, so not really running before. I mean, I ran as a part of like field hockey and just being physically active, but nothing consistent. So I went all in with the marathon as my first race.
Good for you.
Yeah, thanks. And I remember there's a park in Denver called Cheeseman Park, and I think it's about maybe a mile and a half around the park. And I couldn't even do it once around without stopping to walk. And so that's where I was starting, very beginner. And I joined Team in Training. I did my first marathon in October of 2013, so just about 9 years ago. And I think I finished that marathon thinking that was going to be bucket list checked. I'm moving on with my life and doing something different. But the next week I signed up for my next marathon. And so I've done 14 marathons now and probably 30 half marathons and all the other distances, below a half marathon too many times. And now I'm a running coach. So I'm all in. I live and breathe running every single day. It's my full-time job and I love it. I just have to pinch myself every day that this is actually what I get to do. So,
oh my gosh, that is so exciting. I mean, and I really appreciate you being honest about kind of where it all started, where difficulty finishing that first couple of miles on a track and then where it has led you. So that's so exciting. I did see that in terms of your marathons, and we haven't had a guest on to talk about what it's like in like running races in Colorado and Denver. I saw you did the Colfax. Actually, Colorado is one of the states I haven't done yet. So I'm personally really interested in this. But what would you say about running out in Colorado in that area versus, let's say, running back east here? Is, to me, I would imagine people training at that altitude gives you a little bit of an advantage maybe when you come east, but what's the running community like there in Colorado?
Yeah, that's a great question. And so when you're training out there, I mean, I was living in Denver, so I was training out there and running at the same elevation, so I didn't really notice it much. But when I did train there and I ran a few races here, I would come back to New Hampshire and run. And I can't really say I'd notice a huge difference in like my breathing. I do notice it more now that I live literally at sea level, and I just was in Denver last month, and like it is a little bit like breathing through a straw at times. So I think I notice it more going from sea level to elevation. But yeah, the running community out there is amazing. So I work for a company called Mercurial Running, and there's two coaches that live in Denver. There's a coach that lives in Leadville. And it's amazing. They have a running club in on Wednesdays in Denver that's like, I think there was probably like 50 people there every night that they have it. It's awesome. And I went there last month and visited their run club, and it was just really fun. It's a great community. And I mean, Denver's just a super active city, and Colorado's an active state. And, you know, there's so much sun out there. I think it's really easy to be active out there, whereas, you know, we're here today, it's rainy and drizzly. It's not maybe as encouraging to get out there. But yeah, I mean, I think the running community, wherever you are here, Colorado, it's such a cool community. And I think that's one of my favorite parts about this sport.
You're so right. In terms of team and training, and I think we've had one previous guest who was involved with team and training. And I think, right, they wear maybe like purple singlets, and I've seen them. But take us, you know, so that's more of kind of, I mean, maybe just if folks are thinking about training, what was that experience like? Were you training in person every week, or were you just kind of meeting for long runs, or were you really on your own other than on race day?
So I think I was trying to think about that today. I think we met twice a week. We had at least one midweek run, which I think sometimes was a speed workout. And then we always had a long run on Saturdays. There might have been two weekday runs, but it was in person. And I think we had about 30 people in our group. There was a coach, and then there's what is called like a mentor. And those are people who have done the team and training before, and they kind of help the coach and they help the runners with, you know, fundraising and just kind of getting ready for running. Like, I remember I was such a beginner. I had no idea I had to get new shoes. I was like, and one of the mentors was like, you've been wearing these shoes the whole training. You need to get some new shoes. Like, just like little things. It was so helpful that you just pick up along the way. And there was like a big pasta dinner the night before the race. So it was really like community oriented. And again, like that's just so cool. And it was all different paces, And I think a lot of what I learned in that first group, I'm taking to my now training groups, and just kind of focusing on building that community and encouraging all paces to join. There's a lot of run walkers, there's fast people, there's everything in between. So it's just really cool to see it all come together in, you know, in that way.
Yeah. And I guess I'll put something in the show notes for our listeners around team and training, because I do think it is a very inclusive community and a great place to start. When you were living in Colorado, and as you said, you hadn't run previously, so what was there a tipping point or something that all of a sudden you said, I'm going to take up running? Like, for many of individuals who've come on this podcast, someone in their family ran, or they attended races with others. What was your tipping point?
No, my family does not run.
Okay.
I do have a cousin who is really highly into running. She's run the Boston Marathon. This year was her 13th Boston Marathon. So she was always an inspiration. My mom would go down and see her run the Boston Marathon. And I always thought to myself, that would be so cool to do. But I mean, after my first marathon, I was like, that's never going to happen, which I'm sure we'll get more into. But I just think I wanted something that I could do that was not a lot of money. I was like right out of college. I wanted something that I could meet people without having to like go to the bar, or just like, I wanted something that was healthy and a way to meet people. And for some reason, I just thought that would be a good option. And the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society really spoke to me too, because my grandma had just passed away from leukemia. Mm-hmm. And then one of my cousins was battling lymphoma. So I felt like, oh, this is great. I can support that organization, meet people, get healthy. Like, it was kind of just like so many check boxes that I decided to go for it. And the fundraising goal was not like insanely high, that it was this like full-time job on the other side too. So it was very manageable.
That's great. That's great to hear. And I think what I really like about what you're saying is kind of all of the benefits that came with running, in terms of the way that you could support others, you built this community. And so I think for individuals out there who may be thinking of running as a solitary pursuit or slogging along, I hope in the course of listening to your episode and other episodes, realize there's such a supportive, life-affirming community there for them when they kind of come on board with joining different running organizations and starting to race.
Absolutely.
So I do want to turn to, you've done a lot of races. As I said, I was intrigued that you've raced in Colorado, and I don't know how, you know, I'm thinking like, okay, I have to do Colorado. How am I going to, I guess I'm just going to go for it, maybe get there early and hydrate. Did you actually run a race in Colorado after you were living here? I know you said you were just out there, but any tips for those of us who are going from sea level to altitude for a race?
That's a great question. I have not that I can think of. I definitely have not done a full marathon. I think getting used to the elevation as much as you can, definitely hydrating a bunch, especially when you're going from sea level to elevation, drinking a lot of water is really important. I think also just being flexible with your goals, and knowing that it might be tougher with the elevation, going from, if you're training at sea level and going to somewhere, say, you know, Colorado or Utah or anywhere that's higher, it just might be a little bit more challenging. The other thing that's a lot different is it's humid here, whereas it's really dry there too. Mm-hmm. So we kind of have that advantage, especially for training in the summer heat, and going somewhere cool and dry. It's kind of an advantage. Whereas if you're going from cool and dry and then hot and humid, which I've done, I can tell you about that. It's just different variables. And I think that's kind of the beauty of racing, right? There's so many variables that go into it on race day. And so just staying flexible and being realistic with your goals going into it.
Those are really great suggestions. And I will keep those in mind when I get to check Colorado off the list. And I'm sure others will keep those in mind when they're traveling to states such as Utah or Colorado. Take us along on some of your races. You alluded to Boston, but obviously you've done other races as well. Are there certain highlights for you? Were there any really tough races? Take us along on that.
Yes. All of the above. So I started my first race 9 years ago, was the Rock and Roll Denver. It was in October. They no longer have the full marathon, so you definitely should do Colfax, because that's a great tour of Denver. It's one of my favorite races. I did that several times. I've done the Maine Coast Marathon a bunch, which is kind of local to us here in New Hampshire. So I kind of went into chasing a BQ. Once I started getting to within reach of a Boston qualifying time, I kind of was training myself and kept trying to focus on getting that BQ. And then they changed the BQ time and they made it faster. And so that's when I hired a coach who is the owner of Mercury Running. That's when I got connected with them. And she helped me a ton. And so, I mean, I worked with her for a number of races and some tough ones. So I mentioned going from cool and dry to hot and humid. So I ran a race in Hawaii in January. And so I started my training. I was living in Denver and it was cool and dry for most of my training. You know, long runs, my peak weeks were in December. So like
perfect.
It was perfect. It was really cool. And then I ran in January in Hawaii and it was like, I think it was probably close to 90 at the finish line. And it was just really, I mean, that was a tough race. Mm-hmm. I was actually on pace to qualify up until like mile 22 and then the wheels fell off. And I'm sure so many people know what I'm talking about. But I kept at it, and I knew it might take me a couple times to finally get my qualifying time. So my most memorable race is the Manchester City Marathon here in New Hampshire in 2020. So I kept trying to find races during COVID that I could run because I was running a bunch. I mean, we were all at home, and I was really leaning into my training, working with Jenny, the my coach, and I was trying to find all these different races, and then Millennium Running was putting on like this COVID safe race, and so I actually flew back for it, and I raced it, and I was, it's a hilly course. It was a like unseasonably warm day in November, but it was like perfect. And I remember like mile 25, things started to fall off a little bit for me, but I was still on pace for a qualifying time. And I was like coming into Manchester and was just really excited, but it was getting really tough. And around the corner is my college roommate. She came to surprise me.
Oh, how sweet.
It was so nice. And like, I hadn't seen her for years because it was like COVID and like I was living in Denver. And so she's there and she runs with me and she's like, oh my gosh, you have this. So she gave me the surge that I needed. And I came around the corner. I saw the mile 26 mile marker and it, I looked at my watch and my qualifying time was 3:30 for my age group. And I was at 3:29. And I was like, I have to run 0.2 miles in like a minute. I mean, I don't know. It was like something like that. And I was like, fast math, this is going to be tight. And so I remember I came back to something my coach said to me in one of my speed workouts, like there's going to be a point where you need to hang on with your fingernails or you're going to call it. And I was like, this is where I'm hanging on with my fingernails. And I ran like every piece of me. I just gave it everything I could until the very end. And I crossed the finish line at 3:29:58. So I qualified by 2 seconds. And like to this day, that is the most memorable race for me. I just ran Boston in April. That is a, like, it was amazing. But I think that was probably my most proud marathon because it was like true grit to the end. And my grandma, who was 96 at the time, came out to cheer for me.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And my dad was there. My college roommate was cheering for me and like had like my husband on. He was in Denver. She had him like on FaceTime. And so it was just really nice. It just like, again, like running is so much more than just running. It's like the people that support you and it's reaching these goals. And it just meant so much to me. And I will never get old. I'm sure I've told that story 100 times. It's like, it's my favorite.
Well, I have to say, just hearing it kind of was getting some chills and just can picture, right, seeing that finish clock and knowing what you have to do to get there. So kudos to you. That's so exciting. And to do it in your home state. I love that. I love that.
Thank you.
And also just the idea that if you don't succeed the first time, you just keep trying. Mm-hmm. And I think ultimately that probably made it so much sweeter when you finally did kind of have your Boston qualifying time and to be able to compete in Boston.
Oh, absolutely. That's one thing I say to people when they say, I'll never qualify for Boston. I'm like, you are talking to the wrong person because you will. If you really want to, you can. Absolutely.
We're going to take a short break. You are listening to the 50 States Finish Line podcast. Welcome back to the 50 States Finish Line podcast. Carrie Ann, what would be helpful for folks to know about possibly working with a coach?
Great question. So I hired a coach myself, like I mentioned, to help me kind of fine tune my speed. And I wanted to know a little bit more about form and just kind of, I wanted to take my running to the next level. And so one thing that I encourage folks to do when they're looking for a coach is just do your research and see, you know, think about what your goals are, what you're hoping to get out of a coach, and chat with that coach before you go full in, and just making sure you're the right fit for them and they're the right fit for you. And just, there's a lot of different styles and philosophies out there. So if you have a specific one that you want to focus on, just, making sure that your coach, fits that box, and, that you'll be successful working with your coach. And ultimately, it is your training plan and your training journey. So you want to make sure you're comfortable with how you want to move forward and get that success that you're looking for.
Is when you're working with someone, do you see over a period of time, like, just take us through, is it a typical kind of 12-week program? Are people working towards a particular race? We've had some folks on who've said, I joined a training group and we were working towards a particular race. Obviously, Team in Training, the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, is geared towards certain races. But are you taking on clients like at a certain time of year ahead of certain races? How does that work?
Yeah, it ebbs and flows. So right now we're in November, and so a lot of the fall races just wrapped up, and spring training is right around the corner. So a lot of our spring training, spring marathons are starting training in January, maybe even December. So it kind of ebbs and flows with the seasons of spring races and fall races. But we work with people year round. So, and it's really up to the runner of what they want. So we meet with our runner, we talk about what their goals are, how long they want to train for. So typically with like a full marathon training plan, you're looking at least 3, usually 4 months. And then with half marathon, it's typically 3 or 4 months, but we have runners that train year round too. So, one of the biggest things that we're focused on is making sure you're running healthy and staying safe. So you're, preventing injuries and you can run for a very long time. And then, secondly, we want to make sure you're having fun. So, if that means taking a break in between training cycles for a little mental reset and just kind of enjoying the cross training that you typically don't do as often when you're training for a marathon or a half marathon, we support that. So there's, it's a number of different things, and everyone's training plans, if we're working with them one-on-one, it is completely customized to them and what they want to do. So, how many numbers of days they're training a week, their cross training and so on. So that's kind of the online training plan portion. And we do online coaching too. And then for the group training, like you mentioned, that is something that is specific to New Hampshire. And so we, for this past fall season, we trained for the Seacoast Half Marathon, which is an awesome course throughout Portsmouth and Newcastle. It was on October 30th this past year. And we all, we had 45 people in the training group. They all trained for that specific race, which was really fun and special. And we met in Portsmouth, so we ran the course quite a bit, which was great. And I have a spring training group coming up that is more of a choose your own adventure style. Mm-hmm. So everyone will have a goal weekend to try to find a race that they want to do. There's a couple great local ones like the Maine Coast Marathon or the Providence Marathon. So that's the weekend of May 6th and 7th. So they'll be training for that goal weekend in mind. But that's kind of the group training atmosphere too. So we're meeting 3 times a week, and we have a speed workout, we have a mid distance run, and then we have a long run, and then in between we always do some special things. So whether it's a potluck brunch or a happy hour or something fun, we always try to include some fun and food usually.
Nice.
Yeah.
So of those 45 runners, so what would be the range in terms of pace? You had mentioned it's about staying fit and it's about staying injury free. And how does that look like if you're doing group runs? Do you have like smaller pace groups within that group of 45?
Yeah. So the way I structured it was 3 levels. We had a Forrest Gump theme that for this past training group. And so there was the level Jenny, there was the level Bubba, and then there was the level Forest. And I let people select what level they thought they were in. So I asked them a few questions, just in like a email, and they kind of self-selected what group they thought they'd be in. And I didn't know what group they kind of selected themselves to be in unless they told me. But I would just send out the runs for each different level. So kind of Jenny was the lower level of mileage, and then up to Forest was more of like if you were had already done half marathons in the past, kind of a more advanced type of training. But the workouts were all the same. It was just the mileage that was different. And as far as paces, people could run on effort. So I would always give pace goals for if you had a pace goal in mind, they had the opportunity to have different pace goals for each workout, but also the opportunity to run by effort. So like your easy run, you should feel like it's easy and right. You can chat and you can breathe easily. And this is a pace that you can hold on to all day long, you know, whereas like your intervals, it's going to be a little bit harder to breathe. You're basically waiting for this interval to end because you're pushing so hard. So everyone kind of judged where they were, and there was no set pace group. So everyone went off and the paces would naturally form together. Mm-hmm. And you know, paces change day by day. If you didn't have a great sleep the night before, you might be a little bit slower or sluggish. So it changed day by day, and paces, the groups just kind of formed on their own. And we did a lot of like track workouts. So it's easy because you're going around on a loop. And so people just kind of, you know, do their own pace. And it's a lot of fun. I think, again, like you mentioned with team and training, and that's kind of what I wanted to model in this group, is you don't have to be super fast. You can go at your own pace. I actually even had run walkers in the group. So it really, it varied. And I was there until the very end, you know, whenever people came in, and, you know, it was just a really awesome group and so supportive. So the community is awesome.
Yeah. And I think as you're talking, what I'm thinking is, so for so many of us, if we did play sports in high school or college, we think of that coach, not in an adversarial way, but it being kind of a difficult relationship, in that the coach wants you to win. The coach is really, really pushing you. And as you're talking, I'm thinking to myself, no, coaching in this realm is much more supportive and meeting you where you are and pushing you to where your next level is versus whatever this team level might have been in terms of other sports. So I really like that model, and it feels very welcoming versus kind of scary, which I would imagine for some folks might think, oh, coaching might sound kind of scary, or training with a team sounds kind of scary, but it's not that at all.
No, and you know, I think it is intimidating sometimes to go to run clubs or training groups, because you might think that, you know, is the case. And sometimes with certain groups, it might be, you know, some groups have the tendency to be faster, and that's fine. But I definitely want to encourage that more welcoming type of group and making sure everyone feels comfortable. And I think one thing I mentioned at the start of my training group is I noticed a lot of people comparing themselves to their past self and their past times, and maybe they've, you know, stopped running for a certain amount of time. They want to jump right back into where they were 15 years ago, 20 years ago, or, you know, even longer. And it's like, let's just start where you're at right now. Like, we just take everything that's happened before. That's awesome. But we're going to start where you are right now and build up from there, because you're going to have new goals. Every year there's going to be a new goal, right? And that might change throughout. So meeting people where they are is essential for, I think, just having fun and enjoying it, right?
Getting back to your testimonial, yes, having fun is so important, and such a great suggestion. It's such a great resetting in terms of running and how people see themselves. So that's so helpful. You know, I usually like to ask kind of a couple of kind of rapid fire questions, but before I do that, are there any final thoughts in terms of coaching that you want to offer, or races that you want to talk about?
Sure. Yeah. I think if someone's, you know, thinking about getting into running for the first time, or, you know, they've taken a hiatus and they want to get back into it, I think, you know, just think about it as just getting out there and moving. It doesn't need to be all in at the very beginning. Just like get out there for 30 minutes, whether it's running or walking. And, you know, what I love about running is that it doesn't matter how long it takes for you to run the half marathon. You know, if you're running that half marathon in 3 hours and the winner ran it in an hour and 15 minutes, you still ran the same 13.1 miles. So I think it's just a really inclusive sport. And if you're hesitant about whether or not you want to get into it, I'd say just try it. Give it a try. And, you know, it's a great community and it's really fun. So if you're thinking about coaching, I don't think you'd be disappointed if you got into it and, you know, again, just give it a try. I think, there's a lot to learn and there's just, you know, a lot of information out there. So yeah. Hopefully that helps.
Oh, it totally helps. Such so many great suggestions. And I really like how you say it doesn't matter what your time is. I think we really do focus on that. And you're right. Everyone who finishes is going to get a medal. Everyone who finishes is going to get a finisher's medal. Mm-hmm. So I love that. I think we put a lot of emphasis on the time on ourselves and, we don't need to do that. So I really love what you had to say about that. When we turn to kind of the rapid fire questions, I always like to ask runners, you know, their favorite shoes, their favorite tech gear, anything comes to mind?
So favorite shoe, as we talked about before we got on here, I noticed a lot of people in these episodes are talking about Hokas. I am a Hoka fan. I'm wearing them as we speak. I have the Hoka Rincons on. I love them. I train in these and then I recently just ran the Chicago Marathon and
congratulations.
Thank you. It was really fun. I tried my first pair of carbon shoes for that. So I wore the Saucony Endorphins and I loved them and they are like pink with gold glitter and it was just really fun. It kind of went with my Spice Girl theme that I had going for my whole outfit and my race plan. So I really enjoyed those. And then for trail, I've been wearing a Saucony shoe and I'm blanking on the name of them. But I really enjoy those shoes. And I also like the Brooks Cascadia. So I'm giving you a lot of answers.
No, that's helpful because when people go into a running store, it's nice to try on different brands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think for someone going into a running store, definitely go into like a local running store if you can. They have a lot of information about shoes and it's all about just trying on shoes. Everyone's foot's different. So just try on a bunch and see what feels right for you. And always try to size up at least a half size because your feet do swell when you run.
That's so true. And our toenails can tell us that, right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Not pretty. Not pretty at all. How about a favorite tech item? Do you run with a watch or here we are in New England and it's getting dark earlier. Is there a favorite reflective vest or something that you wear when you're out running?
Yeah, I do wear a watch. And there are a lot of great, like, bright reflective vests that have blinking lights and they're fun. I think, though, my favorite piece of gear is my hydration vest. So it's essential for like long runs. I mean, even short runs too. I just love it because you can go hands-free. It fits like a piece of clothing and you can put your phone in there and, you know, your goos or gels or whatever you're taking for fuel. You've got your water. And I like when I'm running long runs, I pack like it's survival. So I've got like tissues in there and Body Glide and like if I like I don't know Band-Aids, like I have everything in there. One of my runners, I was running with my vest, I had like everything that you could possibly need, and she's like, you're like a wedding planner for running. And I was like, thank you.
Right.
Yeah,
just go see Carrie Ann.
Yeah, I have everything. If you need anything, I'm like a vending machine.
I love that. Is there something you say to yourself when the going gets tough?
Yes. So, this is one of my favorite questions that you asked. So I think a lot of long distance running and probably, you know, any kind of running, it's just as much physical as it is mental. So talking to yourself is huge. And so for me, when like in a race, you always in a race, it gets tough, right? There's going to be a point that you're pushing yourself to the point where you're like, what am I doing out here? And I always have like my last 10K of a marathon, I do what's called gratitude miles. And so each mile I think of someone or a group of people my friends, my family, my coach, my husband, who puts up with a lot during training, all of these people who have helped support me get to the start line and to the finish line. I think of them and I give gratitude towards them. I always have my last 2 miles, mile 24 of a marathon will be to my best friend, Roisin. She is a cancer thriver. So the last 6 years, she's been battling breast cancer. Mm-hmm. And so I just think of her and how like tough she is and how she just, she inspires me so much. So I always think of her. She knows that too. So she always likes it because she's like a part of the race in a way.
That's so sweet.
If she can't be there in person too. So I always think about her and just give gratitude towards her. And I also give gratitude towards my body because I just feel lucky to have a body that lets me do hard things. And so when the going gets tough, that's kind of always where I go back to is just, you know, this is fun and this is something we choose to do. So, you know, just coming back to why we showed up and who helps you and who inspires you to get to that finish line.
Such words of inspiration. So wonderful to hear that. Do you have a race on the someday list? Oh. Obviously Boston is there, but is there another kind of race that you would love to do someday?
Oh yeah. Boston was it for such a long time that I was really happy I had Chicago already on the books after Boston last year. And I'll have Boston. I'm going to chase Boston forever. It will always be on my bucket list. I think now I'm interested in maybe getting all 6 world majors. Maybe that's like a lifetime, like over my lifetime, I want to kind of pick at that. But I think right now what I'm really interested in doing is like a European marathon, like a Spain or somewhere in Italy, and then having a nice vacation afterwards. That's what I'm really into right now.
I think your husband would probably like that too, right?
Exactly. Yeah. We'll just go eat and drink all the good stuff afterwards.
Well, thank you, Carrie Ann, so much for joining me today. It's been so much fun hearing your story and your journey with running and also your involvement with coaching. And clearly you have found your passion in your life's work. And I'm sure everyone who works with you is so fortunate. And thank you for sharing your guidance with us today. Are there any final thoughts you want to share with our listeners?
You know, I just want to say thank you for having me on here today and good luck with your hopefully Colfax marathon coming up. And to any of the listeners, like, don't hesitate to reach out to me if you have any questions about running or want to just chat. I mean, if you're curious about getting into running, join a Facebook group or go to a run club. You know, start somewhere. It's a really fun environment. And, you know, it's just a great group of people. So come on in.
Thank you, Carrie Ann. And thank you to our listeners for listening to the 50 States Finish Line podcast.